in the night. Your heart fills with dread, probably a murderer who wants you dead. It could be a ghost, a demon, or worse. Perhaps you're the victim of a witch's curse. It's hopeless, you're doomed. You'd call a priest if you could. You'd rather just listen to who? Sinister Who?
Hello and welcome to another edition of Freaky Friday, where we tell your odd but true stories. It is Friday, August 7th, and we have got another lineup of tales sent in by you. Don't forget to send yours in, because that's how you make the world go round, to share your stories and inspire others to share theirs.
Yes, thank you to everybody that sent your stories in, and yeah, keep sending them in. There's always... never a shortage of horrible things that have happened to people.
Right. Or I'm like, maybe you had something to do with one of the episodes we covered. None of them are ones that you necessarily want to have an experience with. So
no, not at all.
But thank you all for being so generous and for inspiring others.
Yeah, it definitely shows that you're not alone in your grief or whatever you might be going through. So always grateful to all of you for being vulnerable and sharing these things with all of us.
Most definitely. I saw an old grandma came up in my feed and she was like, I just want to give you some advice that if you're going through it, you have a 100% track record of getting through it because you're here. And I was like, grandma, I need it. My grandma's a passed away. So I was like, sometimes I need to borrow a social media grandma. Mm-hmm. So it's helpful day.
I think I know the one you're talking about. Yeah. And I follow her because she is always very, knows exactly what to say.
You need it.
Well, we're going to know exactly what to say because we're going to be reading all of your words. So
thank y'all.
I'm Christy.
I'm Heather.
And let's get freaky. This first one is from Janie and is called My Friend Was Murdered in Puerto Rico. Hello to two of my favorite ladies. I'm a longtime listener from Ohio, first time writer, and found y'all while I was living in Houston. I wanted to listen to someone local, and the way y'all handle stories is truly amazing. The respect and grace that you give to every story is unmatched and it's much appreciated. Thank you so much, Janie. Janie continues, I never thought I'd be this close to a true crime story, but alas, here we are. This story has made national news at this point, but I wanted to share my personal connection. I'm 35, but in seventh grade, a set of twins moved to our small town middle school. Their names were Taylor, she, her, and Tyler, he, him. Throughout middle school and high school, I got to know these two really well. My dad went to high school with their dad, and to all of our surprise, their mom was my nurse practitioner for a while. The summer I was 16, Tyler was in all of our group plans. We would go to someone's house and watch movies and stay the night as a group. I remember once we put Tyler in the trunk of my old Pontiac Grand Am. Why? Who knows, but I have a picture of him in there and it still cracks me up. I was also close to Taylor. Throughout the end of high school and into college, I would hang out with her and sometimes Tyler too. They both went to the same college in Kentucky, and I drove down, about 3 hours, to hang out at bonfires and catch up at their house that they shared with their older brother, Chance. It was always a fun time with the Wilkins. In early July of 2026, the world lost one of those beautiful lights. Tyler was living in Puerto Rico for the last 2 years, and he loved to camp. He was all about being outside, camping, rock climbing, hiking. He also caught every animal I think he ever came into contact with and usually made friends with them. Tyler was always on an adventure and didn't say no to anything. Need help moving? He was there. Need someone to listen and empathize with you? He was there. Need a hiking buddy? He was there. Tyler went camping alone in a remote part of Puerto Rico on July 9th, sending his girlfriend pictures and videos of his camping spot and of him fishing. He was having a great time and was texting some friends about someone who was setting off fireworks and getting rowdy. No one heard from him after that. A person on an early morning beach walk the next day found his body and called the police. He had been shot, execution style, and no one knows by whom. I really wanted to share this story because the person who killed Tyler is still out there, and police aren't doing much to solve his murder. Close friends started a GoFundMe and have raised a lot of money for a private investigator, and there's a $30,000 reward for any information leading to the person who did this. It's so recent and jarring that I'm still having trouble processing the situation. Tyler is the fourth person from our graduating class to have passed on, but he's the first person I've ever known to be murdered. He was such a sweet and loving person who didn't know a stranger, and it's so unfair that he's gone. I've attached a recent link to his story, though if you Google Tyler Wilkin in Puerto Rico, he comes up straight away. I don't really know how to end this story, other than asking our community to share it so the police can catch whoever did this heinous act, because Tyler deserved so much better. I appreciate you gals for sharing his story and for all the respect you give to victims and their families. You're doing truly great work. Keep it creepy, Janie.
Oh, Janie, I'm so sorry.
Janie, so sorry for the loss of your dear friend and to his family. It sounds like they were all really close. And things like this are truly devastating and very hard to process, especially in, you know, the early days and months of it.
It's extremely shocking, and all tons of love and heartfelt feelings go out to his twin. I can't imagine losing any close family member or sibling, much less your twin. That's got to be just next level. And especially in such a heinous way that you don't, you know, he doesn't seem to have any enemies. Like you said, he never met a bad person he didn't get along with, loved animals. The article, thank you for sending that, Janie, it said he heard howling outside of his tent that got louder, and he said getting pretty rowdy around 2 a.m. So howling and fireworks is, you know, maybe people having a party getting wild. I don't know. But when you Google it, some articles come up, but not as many as I think there should be given, you know, this, it's so sudden and so unsolved. This is the kind of thing you need the community to come forward.
Mm-hmm.
So,
yeah. I mean, if anyone listening has any information, of course, send it in. Share this episode. You know, you never know who, even if you're not in Puerto Rico or anywhere around there, people are vacationing. Maybe someone somewhere heard a story about people vacationing being rowdy and then a crime was committed. So the more things like this are shared, the more eyes are on it, especially from mainstream media, the more likely somebody is to be caught, and you and his family can get some semblance of justice, although it's never enough.
Yeah, it's not going to bring him back, but I hope the GoFundMe will share it, make sure it's linked. And it's, if you also Google, it's linked in the articles about him as well. So I hope the private investigator, sometimes that's what takes, you know, somebody looking at it from a different angle or with more information that maybe the local authorities don't have that could help break it open. But I do think cases like this is often a witness, somebody heard something. So hopefully we can share it and get some information.
Yeah. And your friend can get some justice. Well, thank you so much, Janie, for sending that in.
Sinisterhood, we'll be right back. You know what's easier than fixing a problem? Not having the problem in the first place. Your liver is one of those organs you don't think about until you have to. Supporting it daily is one of those small things that can make a huge difference in how you feel overall.
That's where DoseSphere Liver comes in. It's a clinically backed liquid liver supplement, not a capsule, not a powder. A 2-ounce daily shot that actually tastes like fresh squeezed orange juice. There's zero sugar, zero calories, zero junk. It's just daily support for the organ that does the most.
Drink it every day and you can expect less sluggishness, fewer midday crashes, and better support for your metabolism and digestion. And this isn't just marketing. Dose has two double-blind, placebo-controlled studies backing up its positive impact on liver enzyme levels. Real science, real results.
Ready to give your liver the support it deserves? Head to dosedaily.co/creepy or enter creepy to get 35% off your first subscription. Your body does so much for you. Let's do something for it.
That's dosedaily.co/creepy for 35% off your first month subscription.
This next one is from Anonymous and is called "In 1989, My Mom Nearly Killed Me." Anonymous writes, "In 1989, my mom nearly killed my baby brother and myself. My mom was a single parent. She'd had three miscarriages, at least, between my brother and I. So there were clearly a lot of trauma associated with pregnancy, and she'd had him prematurely, which created more trauma. After my brother was born, my mom had a breakdown and was hospitalized for a few weeks. She was very heavily medicated for the first time in her life. It was the 80s. Her meds included lithium and Thorazine, and probably some other stuff. I don't remember now. After she was discharged from the hospital, she was still unstable, very erratic. I don't have a lot of this happened and then this happened type memories, but I remember her buying things that didn't make sense, saying weird things, and talking when no one was around to talk to. I was about 11. My brother was under 2. We lived in a northern coastal town in the Great Lakes, and it was fall. I came home from school, and my mom wanted to go for a ride. This was something we often did, with windows down and radio up, jamming to Fast Car or Faith by George Michael. We got in her 1979 Ford Thunderbird. This thing was a boat. It had leather bench seats in the front and the back, and this was when car seats were optional. I don't remember if my brother had one or not. I'm guessing he did, but he was old enough to get himself out, probably. We started our ride, and by the time we got out near the lake, it was dark. There was a campground that was near the beach. All I remember is us driving fast in this big car on two track-type roads. I could have touched the trees if I'd reached my hand out the window. My mom would stop every so often, get out of the car, and try to use a hand pump well. The water must have been so cold. During all of this time, my mom was talking. She was talking to God. She was talking to other people. She said their names, but I forgot them long ago. She was in a story, a reality that I couldn't see. Eventually, we got through all those narrow campground roads, and we came to a park right near the beach. There were swings and a merry-go-round and a really tall slide. I remember my brother yelling that he wanted to play, his little hand on the back passenger window as we went by way too fast. She drove past the playground right toward the lake. Remember, this is a capital G, capital L Great Lake. These lakes look like oceans. The opposite shore is nowhere to be seen, and our car was barreling toward the lake at full speed. That car was a boat, but it wasn't going to float. Luckily, we didn't find out. Instead, we got stuck in the sand, about 3 feet from the water. She tried to get us unstuck as though the sand was snow, rocking the car back and forth, but it only dug us deeper. I made her get out, and I tried to get us unstuck. I'd never driven before, so apparently didn't have it all figured out. I don't know what time it was. The car didn't have a clock, but it was dark, and we stayed in that car until daylight. I remember my brother standing on the hump behind the front seat, crying. He was probably hungry, thirsty, scared, tired, cold. I was all of those things. I remember listening to her talk. All night long. She had conversations with so many people that I never saw. She told someone that she'd tried, but she failed to baptize us. I stayed awake all night. My brother slept a little, but I had to stay awake to take care of him. At first light, I went to a nearby house and knocked on the door. They let us use their phone, and my mom called her brother. She said he was Jesus and would save us. I think of that person that let us use their phone, and I wonder what they thought. I wonder how we looked and sounded to them. We stayed with my uncle for several weeks while my mom was hospitalized again. My brother slept in a dresser drawer in the room I was staying in, and I wouldn't let anyone else care for him. I refused to go to school, and I refused to see my mother for a lot of that time. Eventually, she was discharged, and we went home. The story continues in the chaos of living with someone who is poorly medicated and mentally ill. I didn't talk about this until I was in my 40s, like, at all. My mom didn't remember it, and obviously my brother didn't either. So I was the only one with any memories of it. Who was I going to talk to? My friends? I finally found a therapist and did EMDR. I told my husband about it, sobbing one night after EMDR. He had no idea before then. I'm telling this story now because I can't stop thinking about it. I think about it every day since Lindsay Clancy became headline news. And of course, the more I read, the more it's delivered to my algorithm. the more the comment sections frustrate me. It's been over 30 years since this happened to me. There are plenty of things that my mother has done, but I do not blame her for this. I can't even forgive her because she didn't do anything wrong in my eyes. As a 10-year-old, I knew that she wasn't there in that car with us. She wasn't trying to kill us. She was trying to save us. Lindsay Clancy is not guilty of first-degree murder. She may have planned, she may have known what she was doing was wrong and that her husband would try to stop her, but she thought she was saving them. I want to scream when I hear what people say about Lindsay and Patrick and their children. Yes, what she did was the most horrible, horrific thing a parent can do. She tried so hard to get help. It's so easy for people to make her the villain, but is she? I hope that she doesn't remember the details, that her mind was far enough gone that she doesn't have to have them in her mind. She will suffer enough for the rest of her life, knowing what she did to the babies that she loved so much. This happened because the system failed her. It failed my mom, too. We just got to survive. None of this is simple. And there, but for the grace of God, go. All of us. This could literally happen to anyone. Psychosis can happen if you have an untreated UTI for too long. Older folks have ended up diagnosed with dementia when they needed antibiotics. If you're a woman of childbearing age, this shit could happen to you. The systems that are supposed to protect us and care for us are so inadequate. They're good enough because this only happens to one or two in 1,000 women, and that's an acceptable failure rate for the people in charge of writing laws and collecting insurance payouts. Not unlike the Ford Pinto, it was cheaper for them to pay a few lawsuits from the people who died in their cars than it was to make the cars safer. What's a few dead babies when the bottom line is at stake? Thank you, Heather and Christy. I knew I needed to write this out and put it somewhere. It only took me a moment to know who I could trust with this. I appreciate you both so much, the care you have for each other and for everyone in general. Please give each other a hug for me. Oh, sweet, sweet girl. This is such a horrible thing to grapple with, and I feel like you've done it with a lot of grace. Yeah. And a maturity that even at 10, you realized this isn't my mom. This is something has happened. And you're absolutely right. The system failed her. And you're absolutely right that the system failed Lindsay Clancy more times than I even knew was possible in such a short amount of time. She tried so, so hard to get help. Mm-hmm. And was failed by the system, her partner, and lots of other people. And I also hope that she doesn't have memories of what happened. And
for those of you who don't know, content warning too, because it does involve, as we've discussed this, the death of the kids. Lindsay Clancy is the mother who is currently on trial in Plymouth Superior Court. We're on day 7 as of recording this, being charged with 3 counts of murder and strangulation in the death of her 5-year-old daughter, 3-year-old son, and infant son. And like you said, Christy, extremely, they said she was called critically ill with postpartum depression, postpartum psychosis, and yet, like you said, was left kind of struggling on her own in a lot of cases.
Yeah, she also jumped out the window to try and kill herself after she did it because the voices in her head were telling her to do so. Yes. And she had reported all of this to her husband and a lot of other people. So why she was being left alone with those kids at all is a big question I have. If I told Tommy I'm having intrusive thoughts about killing the kids and myself, he's not going to leave me alone with them.
Yeah, it was heart-wrenching to hear that in her diary, she was writing that, like, I'm drowning, I'm overwhelmed, I cannot do this, and yet I am alone again. I can't sleep. I mean, none of us can make good choices with just a little bit of sleep, but with excessive insomnia, and she was seeing various different doctors, which they called polypharmacy, so had multiple different doctors prescribing, I think, something like 13 different medications over the course of time, and it's almost like we need to have a dedicated support after childbirth for situations like this so that a woman isn't left with caring for a new baby and also having to manage her own care all at the same time, because that seems like too much for one person.
caring for three children.
Yeah, yeah.
Not just the new baby.
True, true.
Postpartum is a real thing. I had it with both kids. I knew I was going to have it with Simon because it came on so fast with Ella. So I had meds in place and I had a good support system. She did not. Mm-hmm. And my heart breaks for her. I also don't think she should be charged with first degree murder. And I think a lot of the people that were surrounding her, I don't know if you can charge them with anything, but they sure as shit better, I don't know, they're going to live the rest of their lives with some kind of guilt, maybe.
Yeah, I mean, that's a great question. If someone has said, I am a danger to these children, and you go, all right, see you later, what responsibility, liability do you have in that? But yeah, it seems like her attorneys are with it, not without evidence, arguing that she did not know what she was doing, rationally was not there, was not premeditated. It's strange to me that the prosecution would push this. You know, she did it intentionally and rationally. Just, it's not like she had never spoken to a mental health practitioner and then suddenly this happened. It was a, like you said, repeated failures of a system that is not really designed necessarily to be there for moms.
She was begging for help. Mm-hmm. And that was clear to many around her, especially her husband, who is now married with another child. So I don't have a lot of respect for him. Everything from when the police showed up and the things he said to them, to just the fact that he wasn't helping her at all with this, you know? I mean, mm-hmm. Someone's telling you, I'm having intrusive thoughts, I'm going to kill myself and the kids, and then they do it. I mean, she was giving you all the warning signs.
Yeah, and truly documenting her journey and every day was just getting worse and worse. And to have someone not step in a more emergent way, it's a shame that it ended in this tragedy.
Yes, it's horrible. And she's now paralyzed from her own injuries. And we'll wait to see what happens with the ruling and sentencing.
Yeah, I think hopefully she gets, regardless of what she's convicted of, she gets some type of mental health treatment, or at least is getting it right now as this is going on. She spoke in court for the first time this week. I think she just said, yes, Your Honor, but it's the first time I think she's been heard at all.
She broke down crying when their nanny was speaking about her kids and how much she loved them. The jury was shown videos of her kids and she was sobbing to those. So she did not want to do that. Not one part of her wanted to do any of that. And she was begging for someone to help her because she was so scared that she was going to do that.
Oh, most definitely. And I think, God, you got to imagine that feeling when she wakes up and is intubated in the hospital and is like, you're now being charged with this. And it's like, I did what? So, man.
Yeah, I imagine you wish that fall out the window had been successful.
I bet so. Well, we'll be watching that. And thank you, Anonymous, for sharing this with us. And like Christy said, you really did. You handled that with a lot of grace at the time. And especially in retrospect, I think we can let stuff turn us bitter. But it's a good point. Psychosis, I had a family member that we thought maybe had a stroke or had some sort of like personality change completely overnight. And it turns out she had a UTI. She was in her 70s. And it was just stuff like that can happen where you know, it's not her fault and it was not her talking, but it was a physiological change within her. And it's scary to have that happen, but good reminder that it could be any of us.
And you did an amazing job taking care of your brother when that's such a hard thing at such a young age. And I hope now that you're seeking EMDR, which I'm going through as well, and it's a rough one. It does help with trauma. I hope that you're seeing some relief from that. And if you're still in contact with your mom, that she's doing much better.
Sinisterhood, we'll be right back.
Well, this next one is from Whitney and is called I Was on the Terrorist List. Whitney writes, I just listened to your episode about the Prairie Lane case, and I wanted to share that I was put on the terrorist list under the Patriot Act after attending an animal rights protest in Little Rock of October of 2001 when I was 18. The protest was peaceful on the part of the protesters, however, not on the part of the police. who fired pepper bullets at point-blank range into someone's face, broke a woman's wrist, beat a man with a baton until breaking blood vessels in his eye and doing permanent nerve damage to his hand, tasered a minor, used tear gas and a concussion grenade inside a parking garage, and more, all on camera. I was later randomly upgraded to the no-fly list for no apparent reason. I've been physically removed from airplanes by TSA and then had the FBI come to the airport in LA to question me. I was also arrested at my grandmother's house in Chicago by FBI agents who literally ripped me out of her arms to force me to testify in a grand jury that was trying to make up a case against some of the people who helped organize the protest. The FBI tried to get the judge to hold me in jail until the grand jury date months later, but I had an awesome public defender who negotiated for me to be put under house arrest at my mom's house in Dallas instead. The grand jury asked important probing questions like, what was served at the vegan barbecue? They called me back a second time to testify and still couldn't find anything illegal anyone had done, even after sending subpoenas to random ex-partners of the defendants to testify as well. So they used the obscure Animal Enterprise Terrorism Act to say that having a website where people could anonymously post protest actions or giving a speaker tour to raise awareness for the campaign constituted interstate terrorism. Six people were imprisoned for several years for exercising their right to free speech. If you want to look it up, it's called the SHAC-7 case, though only six people went to prison because the other guy was someone no one knew who testified against everyone else immediately and then disappeared. Weird, huh? I don't know if I'm still on the terrorist list. For years, anytime I would go to an airport, I'd have to arrive an extra hour early because the check-in counter person, who usually never had to deal with anything like that, and would sometimes ask if it was a prank, would have to call Washington and be left on hold for at least 30 minutes to get me cleared to fly before my boarding pass would print. Also, anytime I'd get pulled over or a cop would run my license, a warning would come up saying, "This person is a known FBI terrorist. Approach with caution," causing guns to be drawn on me more than once. This hasn't happened in several years, so I don't know if I'm no longer on the list or if their response protocols just changed. I'm guessing once you're on the list, you're never really off, though. Before September 11th happened, the people considered to be the most dangerous domestic terrorists were environmental and animal rights activists, so those were some of the very first people to get targeted by the Patriot Act and similar legislation. During discovery of that case, we got stacks of file boxes full of all the insane and pointless surveillance being done on us. But that was before cell phones, so now we're all under surveillance all the time. It just doesn't leave a trace.
You boy, are you right? That one, man, a real person on the no-fly list. I've never heard from someone before. This is such an egregious overreach by our government.
Yeah, this is absolutely ridiculous.
The fact that you have to have cops coming at approaching you with their guns out because it's like terrorists in a car.
Meanwhile, being pulled off a plane for protesting at an animal rights thing is so stupid. I mean, this is where tax dollars and time and energy are being sent to. If something pops up saying this person is a known FBI terrorist, approach with caution. And then the cop's like, oh, you were just holding a sign outside of an animal rights center. Mm-hmm. Okay, what? Why are you on this list again?
Yeah, it's, and especially this SHAC-7, SHAC-7. I had never heard of this case, but after you sent it, I looked it up. And essentially, like you said, they're basically running a website that was protesting. They said, if you are a bank that banks with these companies that we think are harming animals, we are pressuring people to protest you. And we think that you should protest helping this company that harms animals. That seems pretty benign, but the exactly what we said here, though, you know, a seventh person turned on them and they ended up their all of their sentences were upheld. They were sentenced anywhere from a year up to 6 years was the longest sentence. And yet,
no violence, just no. Exercising your right to free speech, which we're supposed to have the right to do, but it's becoming more and more clear that we do not.
Yeah, it's disturbing to think no animals were hurt, no people were hurt, nothing, and they essentially ran a website and went to jail for 6 years. So, and were fined like $1 million. One of them got restitution for $1 million on top of it. So it's like, you hurt a company by telling people to protest it. We should be able to say protest that company, and whether people listen to us, the company should behave better.
Yeah, or or don't protest, but everyone has the right to do that.
Right, exactly. Well, I'm sorry, like you said, Whitney, it sounds like once you're on the list, you're probably not off, but it's not fun if you're getting drug off a plane, but it maybe is a fun fact for two truths and a lie. I'm on the no-fly
list. If you're on a list, Whitney, I'm definitely on a list. So
I'm going to start doing a lot of road trips while then there's
I'll see
camps.
You on the list somewhere.
Sinisterhood, we'll be right back. Well, Bobby Joe sent this next one in, and the subject line is, "My dad knew he was going to die." Hi, girls. First, thank you for getting me through my daily cleaning. Whenever it's time to tackle the house, I pop in an AirPod, turn on Sinisterhood, and suddenly the chores don't feel so bad. I've gone back and forth about writing in for Freaky Friday for over a year. I even started a draft once and never finished it. My story isn't exactly scary, but it is unusual and meaningful. So here goes. My dad passed away when I was 10, which was 22 years ago now. He struggled with heavy drug use as a way to cope with the trauma he endured growing up. Our relationship was difficult and often toxic. He had a quick temper, and physical punishment was common. I share that only because it sets the stage for what happened next. About 3 days before he died, something in him shifted. He wanted to spend every moment with me. He took me out to lunch, made time for one-on-one conversations, and apologized repeatedly. One night, while I was hanging out with him as he cleaned his office, he suddenly started crying. My dad was 6'4", around 300 pounds, and I had never seen him cry. When I asked what was wrong, he said, I don't want to leave you. He was supposed to go to rehab that Monday, so I assumed that was what he had meant. My mom eventually called me to bed, and I didn't think much more about it. The night before he died, he passed in his sleep around 3 a.m., he was heading to the bedroom to change into his pajamas. I asked what he was doing, and he said, I'm going to put my going to heaven clothes on. As a 10-year-old, I brushed it off as a strange comment and went on with my evening. The next morning, I woke to my mom's frantic voice calling for my older sister, and everything changed. With all this in mind, I have no doubt that my dad knew he was going to die. I'm grateful for those final days, the apologies, the closeness, the moments he tried to make right. I know he did everything he could to show me he was sorry and that he loved me. Thank you for taking the time to read my story. Even if this doesn't make it onto the podcast, I feel good knowing that I got to share it with someone who understands. XOXO, Bobby Joe.
Bobby Joe. Oh, goodness. It's so interesting when it really does seem like someone knows their time is about to be up.
Mm-hmm.
And even calls it to like the night of.
Right. Where it's like, I'm going to go see my husband tonight. And you're like, well, grandpa's been dead for 20 years, grandma, or whatever. And then like, that's the thing. That's the night.
I'm going to put my going to heaven clothes on. He knew something. What? Who knows? But I'm glad that in those last days, he made some amends with you and you got to have those good memories of him before he left this realm.
Yeah, something like that. You cannot replace something like those one-on-one conversations. And unfortunate when my dad was terminally ill, you know, we kind of knew that was going to happen. And just moments like that, the final ones, you start to think like, this is the last time we talked about X and Y. So I'm glad you got to have some things like that. And I'm so sorry that happened so young. I know that makes a huge impact on someone's life, but it sounds like he was trying to give you as much peace and closure as you can, whether he did so consciously or even subconsciously.
Yeah, you have some good memories now, and I hope that you and your whole family is doing well. That's never an easy thing to have happen, period, especially have happen at home.
Mm-hmm, at such a young age. Well, thank you, Bobby Joe. And as just an aside, XOXO Bobby Joe could be the name of like your company or the name of your memoir or something. It's very sweet. So
that is a good little rhyming business name for you.
Sinisterhood, we'll be right back. Well, this next one's from Scarlett, and the subject line is, "My postpartum brain could have gotten me killed." Hello again, Christy and Heather. I'm taking a break from writing a culmination paper for my master's degree and decided I would send in a story. I'm going to tell you how much I appreciate the both of you because it deserves to be said every time. You're like the ants I wish I had, full of sass and great advice. So let's start. This was about 3 years ago when my kid was a couple of months old. I was at home with my baby and my younger sister was visiting me. We were sitting in the living room when she saw a man walking from the back alley into my yard. My sister's always been ready to fight anyone that messes with her friends or family, so she got up and ran to the back door. She opened it and yelled at the guy to get out. He then decided to continue walking up into our yard right up to the back door and asked if we wanted any yard work done. She told him no and that he needed to leave. He shrugged and started walking back toward the alley, except on the way out, he grabbed our lawnmower and took it with him. My sister yelled back at me and asked, "Hey, do you have a red lawnmower? I think that guy's taken your lawnmower." I really do not know what came over me next, but I jumped up, handed her my baby, and ran after the guy. Now, a little context. Our town has a really bad drug and crime problem. It's definitely not safe to interact with people who walk the alleys because most of the time they're looking to steal things and sell them to get money for drugs and other things. At the time, I thought, I'm not going to let this guy think he can just steal things right in front of us and get away with it. So, barefoot and in my pajamas, I ran after him. I started telling him, "Hey, that's not yours. Just leave it and you can be on your way." It obviously didn't work. He just kept walking and I kept following. I even started to second guess myself and wonder if that even was my lawnmower. Then I noticed an outline of a gun under his shirt tucked into his waistband. Thankfully, a big black truck stopped and asked if everything was okay. I told the man in the truck that this guy stole my lawnmower. The man got out of his truck and walked up to the guy, putting his foot in front of the mower so it stopped. He asked him, "Is that your lawnmower?" And the guy just let go of it without saying a word and walked away. I honestly can't believe the situation wasn't worse. Now, years later, and my postpartum hormones are all sorted out, I look back and think of how dangerous that was. I mean, it was just a lawnmower. The man who helped me gave me a hug and offered to walk me home with my stupid lawnmower. At home, my sister was terrified. She went to my neighbor's house, and they had called the cops. The cops came and got statements, but they were never able to do anything. Later, when I told my spouse about the situation, after he expressed how worried he was for me and how badly that could have gone, he told me that actually the stupid lawnmower had just broken the day before, so we needed a new one anyways. I felt so violated after all was said and done. I hated being home alone with my baby in case someone decided they would come back, especially since the guy just walked right up to our back door. My spouse very promptly put up a fence blocking the alley as soon as he could. And as much as I hate guns, he showed me where his portable gun safe was hidden and told me to use it if anyone came back to our house. Well, that's all for now. I definitely won't be doing anything like that again because stuff is just stuff, and my life is way more important than a broken lawnmower. I'm glad to say that we haven't had anyone come into our backyard since, but I sure do feel pretty dumb for running after some creep. With love, Scarlett.
Don't feel dumb. Fuck that guy.
Wait a minute. That was my lawnmower.
And there's so many hormones and adrenaline and just other stuff that's running through your body after you have a baby. If you feel like somebody's threatening you, it kind of just comes out and you go ham. And I'm very glad the man in the black truck stopped. This is just another example, though, of, oh, a man has told me to stop, so now I will. It doesn't matter. This woman ran out of her house in her pajamas barefoot and is telling me to stop, but this man showed up, so now I will.
Yeah, it's like this man who's not any kind of an authority. It's like, no badge. He's just a man, though. Exactly. And the guy's like, all right, well, fair enough. A man is called dibs. I'll leave the mower and go. Ain't that about a bitch, though, that it's like, the whole time the lawnmower was broken. Like, it would have been like, hey, that's actually a junk one. Take it away from our yard. That's very helpful to us. But in that, you know, you had a lot more things on your mind than the functionality of your mower. And I'm also very glad you got a back fence, because that's very scary to just, especially if you see someone in the distance and you're like, they're not coming this way. And you're like, and they're closer and they're on the back porch. Oh, fuck. Oh, fuck. It's something scarier about someone coming to your back porch than your front door. Much scarier.
Yeah. Not having a closed in yard it can be quite frightening, especially if you're living in an area like you described where unsavory characters might be out and about a lot, especially when you've got a kid.
True, a new baby. I bet you do feel quite vulnerable. I'm sorry you had to feel that way, but the fence probably helped, certainly.
The fence puts up a wall of protection, so I hope that helped you out.
Yeah, and don't feel dumb, Scarlett. We do the best we can in the moment, and you've had a couple of guardian angels between your sister and black truck guy looking out for you.
And if no one had gotten that mower back, that's karma. That guy would have been like, well, shit, I can't pawn this because it doesn't work.
It's broken. And now I've drug a worthless mower. Yeah, buddy, thanks a lot. You've drug it out of our yard. Well, thank you, Scarlett, and send in any more stories you might have. Sinisterhood, we'll be right back. This final one is from Z Mama, and the subject line is Universe Looks Out. Hey there, ladies. I was listening to Freaky Friday episode 224 at work. The last story was the mob questioning the lady at her place of work. Unfortunately, this isn't a story about something creepy and cool like that, but it might be an explanation for it. Heather nailed it on the head with her guardian angel, etc. I was taught that when something happens, like misplaced keys or you are running behind for something and keep forgetting things in the house, basically any inconvenient item like that, it's the universe and your guardian angels looking out for you. I truly believe that. I have plenty of stories of things like that happening to me. However, this is about the most recent time. Normally, my mom and I ride to work together. We work on the same shift at the same place, but different companies. We live in one state, but we work across the water in a different state. Think of it kind of like Illinois and St. Louis, Missouri, or Kentucky and Cincinnati, Ohio. It's just like that. We reside in one and drive over a bridge and work in the other. Well, normally I ride with my mom, but whenever I have makeup time at work, so I don't have to use PTO, I drive myself. This one specific day, I woke way later than usual. I didn't hear any of my millions of alarms for some reason. I got ready, and then I went to leave, and I couldn't find my keys. On top of already being late to work. Well, when I finally found my keys, I realized, shit, forgot my water cup and meds in there, and I need that. So I went back in the house to grab those. Finally, after going in and out of the house for what felt like 50 times, I'm sure it was only about 4, I finally started heading to work. Then, after passing the gas station, I realized, dang, I need gas or I won't make it. So I turned around and got gas. All of this stuff was happening back to back to back. Normally, I get frustrated, fussing and cursing and things like that. I will admit, I started to do that until I remembered someone telling me about the guardian angels, the spirit guides, and the universe looking out for me by doing all these inconvenient things. So after getting gas and before getting back in the car, I stopped and took some deep breaths. I thought, Z Mama, you are already late. Don't rush getting there. Just get there safe and use your PTO. I got back in the car and finally headed out. I was listening to all kinds of music. My playlists are about as bipolar and ADHD as the person who created them. Me. Well, I finally made it near the bridge and there was traffic. Normally, traffic isn't too bad early in the morning, even with construction going on, but occasionally there will be delays. When leaving later than we normally do, which I did because I was late, there's usually tons of traffic. I knew that there was going to be some, so I made sure to have my GPS on for an alternate route. I ended up taking it. As I was getting off at that exit, I saw an ambulance, police cars, etc. I thought, that explains the excess of traffic. I found out, literally a few feet from where I exited, there was an accident. I looked at the clock and said, out loud, thank you, universe, and thank you, angels. You knew before I did. I should have listened to you and not get frustrated. So, thank you. If I had left the house on time, I would have been maybe one or two car lengths behind or in front, right of where the accident occurred. Ever since then, I wonder if the universe and my angels are looking out like, no, no, not her. Let's make her sleep longer. Hide her keys. Move her stuff. Make her forget so that she's late. Thanks for listening and keep it creepy.
Well, I am also a person that believes this kind of the burnt toast theory is, I think, what many call it. And yeah, I mean, when you're like, you see the evidence in front of you that had you been on time, you would have been directly where this wreck was when it happened. You start to think back on, oh, all those little things that made me just like 5-10 minutes late saved my life.
No, truly. It's like we can't know what we missed or what missed us in some cases. So yeah. I'm glad for you. I'm glad that the little house gremlins hid your keys in your water. Mm-hmm. And when you talking about going back and forth to the car a bunch of times, that's every time I try to leave the house.
Oh, dude.
Hard to relate.
The amount of times that I have to turn off the car to come back in the house. And I'm like, God, I can't get out of here. I miss. And then I'm like, damn, maybe that was all for some reason that I'm not even aware of. So I try not to get angry anymore when that kind of stuff happens and think of it as, like you said, a thank you universe. And I often say out loud about 100 times a day, thank you universe for various things, from finding things I've been looking for to something like this, seeing like, oh, if I'd been on time, this, I was going to be involved in this. So sometimes, even though it's frustrating, just think maybe this is for a good reason.
Yeah. And like you said, I'm using PTO versus I have to now use all of my PTO and medical and unpaid leave because I was in a horrible accident. You know, it's like, whatever, it's not worth it being late. I am a recovering rusher. I do have tried to really, like you said, stop, take a break and say, listen, you're already late. Another 5 minutes. You know, if I have a doctor's appointment, I'm like, oh my gosh, I'm going to be late. I'm like, just send them a message, call their office. And just, it is like, I can't fly. Mm-hmm. Like, even if I speed, it's going to be what, 90 seconds earlier. And at the end of the day, if the risk on the other side of that's not quite worth it. My, my law school dean, used to always tell us good news, bad news, who's to say with regards to like, don't flip out if you don't get a job or you get a bad grade or something like that. He's like, you just never know what that might change for you, that, you know, you missed something or you got there at a time or whatever. So I think of it that way too, that good news, bad news, who's to say, because we don't know what the universe or guardian angels or whoever it is has in store for us. So
yeah,
I'm like, I can't know what that, if it was good or bad that I missed. So don't sweat it.
Like you said.
Yeah, it just is. I won't sweat it.
I've adopted that way of thinking since high school when I would be extremely late for class in the hall and would be like, well, I'm already late. There's no sense in running my ass to this class to get there, you know, a few seconds earlier. Yeah, but you know, I think the teachers probably would have appreciated if I had a sense of urgency, but I'm like, what if I trip and break my ankle in the hall?
See?
Yeah.
And then I'm late and out of breath and my ankle's broken and I'm sweating. So no. And I would and be then way you more disruptive. Deal with
it. So yes, really, I've done you a favor. Exactly. Thank you.
No one had to file an incident report. So in all your faces.
No.
Oh man.
And if they did, nobody would have seen it anyways. No. Apparently, I just keep them. I hoard
them. Shred. You're like, it's in my special filing cabinet for your notes to me. And it
that
is.
I call the trash can.
The trash can. Hell yeah. Well, I love it. Well, wherever you're at, folks that are listening, I hope you're ungovernable. I hope that your universe is getting you where you need to go on time. And if not, take a deep breath. Whatever, it's waiting for you. The good stuff's waiting for you.
Yeah. And, you know, if bad stuff's happening right now, that doesn't mean it's always going to be happening. And it could be opening doors you don't even know of right now that lead to things you couldn't have imagined.
Truly. Like Noah Kahan said at the concert that he said the last time he was in Dallas in 2018, he had to cancel his concert because not enough people bought tickets. And then he sold out Globe Life, the baseball stadium, which seats 70 something thousand people. So
he called the Hunger Games stadium. And looking around, I was like, God damn, he is right. This does look like that.
When he was like, you know, if y'all wanted to turn on me, you have the numbers. You could. You absolutely could. But that's something to keep in mind. You know, you're like, or like we talked last episode about Tom Holland or whatever, you know, you never know where you might end up. So you might have to cancel your show one day and sell out the arena next time.
He did, and he said, I literally can't believe I'm here now, and I'm so thankful to all of you. And imagine like if in 2018 he said, fuck it, I'm done touring, I'm hanging it up. And like now he's like, hugely popular, taking off. His concert was sold out everywhere. Yes, I know, because after we saw him, I was like, I need to see this show again. And tickets are sold out everywhere.
Oh, man.
So you never know what the universe has in store for you.
There you go. Well, thank you, everybody who sent their stories in.
Yes, thank you so very much. If you have an odd but true story, maybe you've encountered Bigfoot, you've seen a UFO, you had a brush with true crime, or you felt the presence of an otherworldly being, send them in at sinisterhood.com/freakyfriday. Speaking of freaky, have you got something creepy caught on camera, found a weird or unexplainable clip online? Maybe you just have a funny video you need us to see. Send it our way and we'll live react to it during Sunday Scaries, our weekly live stream over on Patreon every Sunday at 8:30 p.m. Central. It's totally free. You put in your email, you get immediate access to the chat, to the unedited videos, and a whole backlog of bonus content on our Patreon just for signing up for free.
Just for free members. And the chat's the best part. So we love you guys. Thanks for being
so much fun. Yes. Well, if you like our free episodes like the one you heard today, you'll love our Patreon bonus content. You can join for free, like we said, just to see what we're up to next. You'll also get bonus content for signing up for free. You can also join at a tier and get over 1,000 hours of content, like Judge Christie, where I rule on petty grievances you bring before the court. True Crime Headlines, where we break down the latest news and updates in true crime. Heather's Saves, where anything Heather's found late night scrolling could be discussed. And Emma the Asshole, Unpopular Opinions, and other subreddits that we feel require our input.
We also offer free trials. That is where you join for a week at any of the tiers. You could check out the new True Crime Headlines, the new Judge Christie, backlog of minisodes. You can look at the backlog of live stream Q&As or quarterly live bonus content, any of that. If you join at the free trial, check it all out and then cancel before the week is over and you won't get charged. You just get to look at stuff for free. But if you want to look at it all year long, get an annual membership. You also get 1 month free through that. And you get fun weekly, monthly, all year long. What all do we get?
Ad-free episodes, monthly live stream Q&As, quarterly live stream bonus content. We let you all vote on the segment that you want to see. Weekly audio bonus content, minisodes, merch discounts, and community of the best listeners on the whole internet.
Head over to sinisterhood.com and click shop on the top banner to check out Sinisterhood merch like t-shirts, mugs, totes, stickers, and even clothes for your kiddos.
While you're on our website, you can also review the show. Thank you so much for all the kind words and 5 stars that everyone's left. You can submit topics and cases you'd like us to cover, and you'll find fun things like topic-based playlists and tickets for Crime Wave at Sea 2027. There may be a few cabins left, so if you've been on the fence, now is the time to pull the trigger.
Got to, man. Crime Wave at Sea is going to be so much fun. If you don't know what that is, it's a true crime festival at sea with us, all your favorite creators. You get to do all the fun crew stuff and all of the best of true crime performances, panels, Q&As, meet and greets, pool parties, and whatnot. Go to crimewaveatsea.com, use code Sinister, or go to our website and click on live shows, and there's all the details there. Follow us over on Instagram and Threads at Sinisterhood Pod. Like us on Facebook at Sinisterhood. Follow us over on YouTube and TikTok at Sinisterhood Podcast to watch clips from the episodes, live streams, and more. And if you are looking for a unique and personal gift for the Sinisterhood fan in your life, you just want to treat yourself to a pep talk, book a cameo now, from happy birthdays to birth announcements to congratulations on whatever it is you've accomplished, we would love to celebrate with you by creating a customized video that can be immediately viewed and sent. It's thoughtful. It's easy to buy on your couch with no pants on. No one would know. And also, it's unique every single time for the best price. Go to cameo.com on the internet and go to cameo.com/sinisterhood. Where can people find you on the web?
I'm on internet. I'm on internet. That's
me too. Me too.
I'm on Instagram and Threads at Christy and Wallace and TikTok at Christy or GTFO.
I too am on internet at Heather versus the World.
As always, the devil rules the airwaves.
Keep it creepy.
Sinisterhood.